We're doing the...
I don't know if it's recording.
We're doing the Rambam's Sefer Mitzvot, and we're doing... we're in the Ramban. In the regular edition, it's page 2, like Daf Avam base. And it's by the period, so it's end of the line. And... אבל בעל הלכות לא צצל סבור שזו הממרה וכל כיוצא בה במספר הזה תפסו בחשבונם כל המצוות הנוהגות בישראל לדורות. The בעל הלכות גדול, he's coming here now, he's taking on a new point. Meaning, we just spent the last few sessions explaining that really we don't know if there's a machlokas, whether there are 613 or not. Does everyone agree to it or not? But what we do know is that bottom line, the Talmud and the Midrashim take as a given that there are 613, no more, no less. So that's the maskana. Whether everyone agreed to it initially or not is a separate question, and that the Ramban didn't verify. But he says at the end of the day, what we do know is that the Talmud and the Midrashim take it as a given that the bottom line is there are 613. That's the maskana. That's the conclusion. Now, what about Baal Halachos Gedolos, who enumerates in his count, he enumerates rabbinic mitzvot. So says the Ramban, he holds that this, that it says there are 613, and every time we encounter this concept of 613, what they mean to include are the mitzvot that apply to the Jewish people for generations. The Asulahem Siman, and then they made a sign, they said, Kiminyane Varav Shel Adam, you have 248, like the limbs of a person, the Cheminyan Yimotachama, and 365, like the days of the solar year. ולא הייתה כוונתו של רבי סמנאי בממרה הזו, אלא לדרוש משהו משלים עליה. Rabbi Samlai wasn't coming to tell something new when he gave the number 613. Everyone knew that. It's Rabbi Samlai's second sentence and third sentence, the continuation of Rabbi Samlai's words, where Rabbi Samlai was telling us something new. What did Rabbi Samlai continue and say? He said, Ba David ve'emidan alechat esre. David said there are 11 things that all 613 are contingent on. Ba Yishaya ve'emidan al shesh. Along came Isaiah and said there are 6 points. Focus on them, and you've encapsulized all 613. Ba'chavakuk v'midan alechat. Along came Chavakuk and said, "There's one. You want to know what encapsulizes all 613? There's one mitzvah." Mechen Rav Amnuna shematzalo smach meyikra eino ela smach tavremis be'alma. And so too Rav Amnuna, he wasn't telling us something new when he said 613. We knew this concept of 613. It's all over Shas and Midrash. What was Rav Amnuna telling us? He was telling us a new asmachta. He was saying, guess what? The word Torah has the numerical value of 611, and that's the number of mitzvot we heard from Moshe. Torah tzivah lanu Moshe. Moshe taught us the numerical value of Torah 611. Two we heard directly from God. So, the Ramban says, being that I've just proven that everyone basically agrees at the end of the day that there are 613, what was Rabbi Samlai telling us? He says Rabbi Samlai's point was not that there are 613, but rather the continuation. Which mitzvot encapsulize all of the concepts of the 613? Now what was Rav Amnuna telling us? Rav Amnuna was telling us the Asmachta. He was telling us a pasuk that is also some kind of an indication to this concept. Ve'arbe psukim milvad ze katuv bahen Torah. And you find many psukim that use the word Torah, ve'inam bein v'cheshbon otiyot, and you don't use a gematria about them. Ve'inyan kaze bekama mekomot b'talmud ne'emar al klal ha'asmachtaot b'inyanim shehem midivrei sofrim. And we find this concept throughout the Talmud that whenever they quote a verse and the verse is not a true derivation, but rather an asmachta, so then the concept that it's supporting is a rabbinic concept. Vilshonam hashagur
b'amaz. What's an asmachta again?
An asmachta is a pasuk that's, you can see this concept in the pasuk, but the pasuk isn't necessarily teaching us that.
Okay.
You can rely, you want to find some kind of thing to lean on. The rabbis instituted a concept and they say, you know what? This pasuk is a good reliant. It's not an indication. If it were an indication, it would be biblical. It's not derived from that pasuk, but you can see this concept in the pasuk. The pasuk is indicative of this concept that the rabbis instituted. And what we find Chazal saying, whenever they're talking about indications, whenever they talk about things that are alluded to, but are not really derived from the verse, they say, Me'ekra. From what pasuk can we find an allusion to this concept? Valaikarim, and whenever it's a true derivation, something that's fundamentally learned from the verse, Omrim, what our sages say is, this is the law, Shene'emar, as it says. When they use the word Shene'emar, they're indicating that that's what it says. That's what the Torah is teaching you. It's biblical. When they use the question of Me'ekra, what verse is indicative of this concept, they mean it's a reliant, it has a slight indication, but they don't mean that this is the source, that it is derived from the verse. Or else when they want a real drasha, when they're going to derive something from the pasuk, they use the question, Minalan, what is the source for that? Or Minahanimili, where do we get these things from? So the Ramban just gave us a code. The Ramban said, when you learn the Talmud, and you find the Talmud asking, Minalan, where do we get this from? Minahanimili, where do these things come from? Or Shenemar, as it says, that's an indication that the rule is derived from the verse, and the rule is biblical. The mitzvah or the halacha is biblical.
Why does it say Megillat Esther on the Talmud?
Megillat Esther is a commentary. That's the name he gave to his commentary. Okay. Megillat Esther.
Mind just putting it,
no, is there a connection though?
I don't know.
It's odd.
ולא תמצא שיאמר בעל הממרא עצמו מייקרא. You don't find that the person himself who teaches a law says, what verse am I relying on? And then he quotes a verse. אבל חכם אחר אחריו, but a later sage who came after him, מסמיך הדבר לקרא, he says, this concept, we could support it, we could lean it on the following verse. רוב דבריהם יביאו בהם בלשון מייקרא פסוקי קבלה. Most often when they ask, what verse is indicative of this? They quote verses from the prophets. And sometimes they quote a pasuk from the Torah. But you should know that if they begin with the question Me'ekra, then the verse of the Torah is not a source, but rather it is an asmachta. It's something to lean on. That's not the source. Yeah.
I remember hearing a shir from given on the Maharal Marabola, and for some reason I remember him having a very different take on asmachta, and that everything that, like he said something about the things that people are saying are asmachta, it's really, that is where the source is in the Chumash. It's not in the Navi. Everything that's in the Navi is just something that you can relate it to. But I don't know if you know.
The Maral, what I know of, in the Berak Olah, yeah. What the Maral means to show is that the concept is included in the Torah. When we say asmachta, the Maral agrees that when we say asmachta, it's not derived from the Torah. The Torah does not expect us to do this, meaning midoraita, we are not obligated to do it. But the Torah is indicating that the Torah agrees with this train of thought. It's not that an asmachta is just, well, we can find some sort of weird allusion in the verses. No. What the Maral is doing over there is the Maral is showing us that when we have a smachtaot, the Torah is really showing us this is the direction, so to speak, God is thinking. God didn't obligate us to do that. God left it to the rabbis to decide when they would institute it. So it's a rabbinic institution. The Maral would agree with the Rambam and the Ramban over here that whenever you have an asmachta, it's not derived from the verse, but the verse is somewhere of an indication to the concept. But the Maral's big chidush is that he proves, brilliantly, he proves that whenever you have an asmachta, really, the Torah's indicating to you that in God's mind, so to speak, God indicated that this is the direction he wants us to go. Kmo shamru, and now the Ramban, as we've seen, he frequently does, he's going to illustrate. as they said in Gemar Sanhedrin and the Talmud in Sanhedrin. You guys want me to find the place for a second? Maybe you should take a ruler like he did.
Yeah.
Here you go. Right after the parentheses. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. You got it? As the Talmud says in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak said, En ben David ma'ad sh'teyafech kol ha'malchut kula leminut. The son of David ain't coming till all of the aristocracy, all of the authority will go over to Christianity. Amar Ravina me'ekra. What verse indicates this? Kulo afach lavon tohu. The verse says in Mitzora, in Tazria, the Torah tells us when a person has a white blemish, he can become defiled tzaras. What happens if the whole body is covered with white? When the whole body gets covered with white, then he's pure. Kulo afach lavan. When the whole body becomes white, covered, totally covered from head to toe with this leprosy, then he becomes pure. That's a moment of purity in his life. So this pasuk, he says, is indicative of the concept that when Christianity encompasses the world, then the Son of David is coming. Now, I translated minut as Christianity because Rashi says min is an acronym for mitalmide Yeshu Anotzri. That's what Rashi says. Not everyone would agree with that.
The thing is it makes the nations.
It's just apostates.
Yeah, but the thing is, that what it makes it seem like is that they're the reason for it coming. Now they've spread throughout the whole world. Now he's going to, you know what I'm saying?
Okay, let's say Min is either an apostate or a Christian.
So how do you say, what was what you said before?
Min is mitalmide Yeshua Notzri. From the students of Yeshu the Notzri. Whatever Notzri means. Okay. V'chen leshon agada berut v'nomi. And that's how we also find the Haggadah tells us about Rut and Nomi. Tafsu lehem kol ha-mitzvot she'en ha-kavana ela she'amra la-schum ha-mitzvot kulan kedei she'tifrosh. They grab all of the mitzvot. Over there, all it means is she told her, you know how many mitzvot they are, so that she'll decide to leave. Or she'achshavu she'amra la-beruach ha-kodesh afilu mitzvot ha-atidot li'itchadesh כמו שאמרו מפקדין על תחום שבת. Or else the sages meant that she told her about with Ruach HaKodesh, even the mitzvahs that were still to come, like Tchom Shabbos, v'imitzvam divrayim, and that's a rabbinic institution. V'ani chushev shi tikun shlomo v'tino, michlal ha-minyan hazeh. And I think, michlal eruvin. And I think that this is part of Shlomo and his court's institution a few generations later. So he says, again, what was his point? Let's start from where we began today. He said, what are we going to do with protecting Baal Halachos Gedolos after we've established that 613 Baal Halachos Gedolos is the work that Rav Yehuda Igon wrote, one of the first works written after the Talmud. So he also enumerated the mitzvot. He wrote a shorthand version of the Talmud, distilling all the halachot. And he also wrote a sefer mitzvot. So the Rambam takes him to task. He says, how do you enumerate rabbinic mitzvot, like washing hands, bikur cholim, Tchum Shavis, Chanukah, Hallel? How do you enumerate rabbinic mitzvot in the 613? So he said that Baal Halachos Gedolos says, when our sages say 613, they mean 613 eternal mitzvot. They don't mean necessarily 613 biblical mitzvot. And the concept of 613 we find throughout the Midrashim. It means that there were mitzvot that were only relevant for a time. Yavov Megillas Tanis, they instituted all kinds of holidays throughout the period of the Second Temple, and all of them passed. They were around for a few years, maybe a few centuries. When they won this war against the enemies or that war. So
wasn't Tisha B'Av also a festive day? From
today we have Yom
Right? So They also had their days that they celebrated for different victories. And then after the destruction of the Second Temple, everything was lost except for Hanukkah and Purim. Hanukkah and Purim were also instituted during the Second Temple in Megillas Tanis.
Is it also saying that at no given time should there be more than 613 mitzvot instituted?
That's a good question.
Those were all the beginning, right?
So that depends if you're going with the Ramban or the Ramban's explanation of Behag. Meaning, Abal Alochs Dos is the acronym is Behag. According to the Rambam, the Torah is 613. Don't bog me down with anything else. The Torah is eternal. Torah has 613. Nothing to talk about. The Rambam says, what are we doing with Behag? So the Rambam says, Baal Alochos Gedolos, he understands that this concept of 613 shows up throughout the Talmud and throughout the Midrashim. It's a concept that there are 613 eternal mitzvot. And the Rambam says, let me prove something to you. This concept of 613 is not biblical, because the Talmud, when it asks, what's the source for 613, the Talmud uses the question, Me'ikra, what verse is indicative of this? Well, says the Ramban, whenever you see the words Me'ikra in the Talmud, it means it's not a derivation. It's an asmachta. You could rely on this. This is indicative of this concept. It's not a derivation. So the concept of 613 is not biblical. We're quoting a pasuk, and we're saying, yeah, that pasuk is indicative. Torah, Gematria 611, plus two mitzvot from Hashem.
But you said that the asmachta points to what Hashem wants, so that seems like...
It's still not biblical. Everyone agrees, asmachta is not biblical. It can be an indication of God's will, but it's not that God's obligating us to this concept. God is giving us the understanding that when the rabbis see fit, this is in line with God's reason.
Yeah, but if it works, why fix it? I mean, if that's what we're... I mean, if it seems like that's what we're able to do, is change it, because it's an asmachta, it's not directly biblical.
So that goes back to the basic question, why have any rabbinic institutions? The Torah is perfect, what do you need the rabbis for? But what are you going to do? The Torah says the rabbis have to institute things. So that's the whole discussion, the whole point of the first... chapter, the first Be'er, the first well in Be'er HaGolah is this question. That's what we're learning Shabbos morning. Yeah. Shabbos morning, we learn Be'er HaGolah, my house, yeah.
Shabbos morning, what time?
If you wake up early, daven early, then we learn at 8:15, 8:30. Stay tuned, let me know if you want to come. So that's...
that's a whole like lesson on 23. I want to learn it like in the source, not from like an interesting... You're in the first barrack right now?
We're still there, yeah. We're somewhere in the middle there, yeah. I think so. So the Ramban had said like this. He said, what does Baal Halachos Gedolos do with this, the Talmud in Makos? He says the Talmud simply means there are 613 eternal mitzvot. Biblical, rabbinic, that's not the point. Now, what about the fact that the Talmud questions Me'ekra? Well, Me'ekra doesn't mean it's a biblical concept. It simply means what pasuk is indicative of this. And he gave an example of that. And then he went on to say, now, Rus and Nomi, they took on all the mitzvot. Now, what does that mean? Nomi tells Rus all of the mitzvot. If we say that Taryag is 613 eternal mitzvot, and it can include rabbinic mitzvot as well, so it can include the lighting of Hanukkah candles according to Baal Halachos Gedolos, or washing hands, well, a lot of these mitzvot were not yet instituted during the time of Naomi and Rus. So how could the Talmud say Naomi told Rus all 613? If Baal Halachos Gedolos is saying that 613 includes mitzvot that were instituted at a later date in the Second Temple, well, Naomi and Rus are living before the First Temple. So how could Naomi tell Rus all 613? So he says, either it means she just told her in general you should know there are a lot of mitzvot, or she had Ruach HaKodesh and she knew what was still to come. V'acharei, are we going to try and cover one more thing? Or we'll pause here? He's really, over here, he's going to develop the point. He says the Rambam had four claims against Baal Halachos Gedolos, and we'll have to deal with them one-on-one. So are we ready? Should we go forward? Yeah? Okay. V'acheze Omar, and after this, I want to say further. Meaning, he began by putting out a defense for Baal Halachos Gedolos and saying, 613 doesn't mean all 613 are from the Torah. Now the Rambam had four claims against that understanding. So he says, the Rambam asked, after having said that, I want to say, Ki Rav Yeshiva al-Bal al-Chot Zal, Alba Tshuvot, the Rambam, he calls him the Rabbi, he claimed against Baal Halachas Gadol's four claims, Yafot, Vitovot, they're beautiful, they're good claims, Me'orirot al-Vavot, they arouse the hearts, Umolivot machshavot, La'asher lehem inayim pukuchot ve'oznayim kashuvot. You see the poetry. He says, whoever has eyes open and ears listening, well, his thoughts have to be aroused when he hears the Rambam's four claims against Baal Halachas Gadol's. Barishona Amar, the Rambam's first claim was, you guys with me? Kshe'yeh lashon ha-Talmud ne'emru lo le-Moshe, the Rambam's first claim was, being that the Talmud says 613 mitzvot were said to Moshe, ech nomar b'davar shu b'trabanan, shu b'chlal ha-minyan hazeh. How could we say that a rabbinic mitzvah is part of this count? It says 613 were said to Moshe. How dare you count something that was instituted in a later generation? That was the Rambam's first claim against Baal Halachos Gadol's. Ve'omnam, but Baal Halachot eino gores ken. Says, simple answer. Baal Halachos Gadol's had a different version in his Gemara. Aval benuscha shelo matzati katuv, I found in his version, the way his Gemara read, Darash Rabbi Samlai. Rabbi Samlai derived 613 mitzvot nitztavu Yisrael. The Jewish people were commanded 613 mitzvot. He doesn't have that line that the Rambam has. 613 mitzvot were given to Moshe at Sinai. He has a different version in his Gemara. In his Gemara, it simply says the Jewish people received 613 mitzvot. That could be rabbinic, that could be biblical. Doesn't say.
I mean, to Moshe.
Right, without the word said over to Moshe. So in that, the Ramban, in one clean sweep, wiped away the Rambam's claim. That's your version of the Gemara. His version had a different quote.
Which Gemara was using?
It seems it was unclear what was the correct version. The Rambam's version read the way our Gemaros read. 613 mitzvot were given to Moshe at Sinai. Baal Halachos Gadol's, the Ramban says, I got a hold of his Gemara. In his Talmud, it didn't say that.
Oh, he says that? He got a hold of his Gemara?
So, he says...
could be.
But don't we say all understandings of the Torah and all the Midrashim and all anything is from Moshe at Sinai, even if you come to today?
Oh.
So...
You're offering another answer. Okay.
Okay.
Your answer might be a good answer to the Ramban. Okay. V'alashon hazeh, and this wording, yichlol kol ma shenitztavu, encompasses anything the Jewish people were commanded, afilu mitrabanan, even rabbinic things. Uvemitzvot shel divrehem anu mevachim shekidshanu memtzotav etzivanu. And you see, when we perform rabbinic mitzvot, we also say these are the mitzvot that God sanctified us with and commanded us to do. So we refer to rabbinic mitzvot as mitzvot that God commanded us to do. So then if the Talmud said the Jewish people were commanded to perform 613 mitzvot, you could easily include the rabbinic mitzvot. Umikol makom, and nonetheless, afilu lefi hanuschot shekatuv bahem ne'emru l'Moshe mi-Sinai, now the Ramban is turning to the attack. He says, I've answered Baal Halachos Gadol's. But the truth is, even according to the Rambam's version, that the Talmud says 613 mitzvot were said to Moshe at Sinai, Eino davar rachok v'nifla la'avi bichlalan miyut mitzvot shel divrehen. It is not something that's so, so far out to include, as part of the count, a few mitzvot that are rabbinic mishloshat tamim, for three reasons. He says, let's say the Talmud said like you, Rambam. Let's say it said that there were 613 mitzvot given to Moshe at Sinai. It's not far-fetched to say that among the 613, there will be some mitzvot that are rabbinic. How does that work? So now the Ramban is going to give three reasons why that could be the case. Ha'echad, reason number one, Mipnei shachachamim nagin zet tamid, because we find the rabbis always doing this, la'vi b'inyanim shel divrehem l'shon Torah v'lechazek otam od b'psukei Torah. When they discuss rabbinic institutions, they use Torah terminology and they fortify their statements with verses from the Torah, k'mo shamru, like the Talmud says, we have a rabbinic institution, an institution of the prophets, to libate water on Sukkot. What does the Talmud say about it? Mipnei ma amra Torah naschumayim bechag. Why does the Torah say libate water on Sukkot? So we'll continue in a second, but you see the Talmud uses the term, why did the Torah tell us to libate water on Sukkot? Well, the Torah never told us to libate water on Sukkot. It's a rabbinic institution. So the rabbis very often will use this terminology, and they don't mean it that it's biblical, but they do use this terminology. So the Talmud continues and says, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Nasumayim Lefanai Bechad, God says, libate water before me on Sukkot, Kedei Sheyitbachu Lachem Gishmei Shana, so that the rains of the year will be blessed. Ve'imru Lefanai B'Rosh Hashanah Malchuyot Zichonot V'Shofarot, God says, say before me on Rosh Hashanah, the special in prayer of Musaf, where we mention God's kingship, the commemoration of our merits, the blowing of the shofar, so that your memory will come up before me for blessing. Did God tell us in the Torah to say these things? And yet the Talmud refers to it as things that the Torah says. V'adavar yadua b'gmara, and it's well known in the Talmud, she'inan ela drabanan, that those things are rabbinic. V'shamod, and over there in the Talmud in Rosh Hashanah we find further, the Talmud says, "Im eino toka lemalchuyot, lama hu maskir?" If you don't blow shofar in the malchuyos, why do you mention it? So the Gemara says, "What do you mean? Why do you mention it?" Rachman amalitka. The Torah says, "Mention malchuyot." The Talmud questions, "Why do we say malchuyot if we won't blow shofar?" So then the Talmud asks on itself, "What do you mean? Why do we say it?" The Torah says, "Say malchuyot," but that's not true. The Torah doesn't say it; it's rabbinic. And yet the Talmud will sometimes use this terminology. The Torah says, and it doesn't mean literally it's biblical. Sometimes in Talmudic terminology, when it says the Torah says, it means rabbinic. Very often, as the Ramban is showing us. That's why I said, when we learn this, we're learning an introduction to all of Talmud, because we're learning codes. We're learning to define the terms in the Talmud. When we'd read this Gemara, we'd say, oh, it's biblical. Raman says, no, sometimes the Talmud uses this term, why does the Torah say, and the Torah is a more encompassing term. When we say, why does the Torah tell us to wash our hands in the morning? It doesn't say it in the Torah. It means, why did the rabbis do that? Same thing in the Talmud. Ve'aval pi shem derabanan ve'lo safek, even though undoubtedly these things are rabbinic, the Talmud refers to them as the Torah saying so. U'meforash amru, and I'll prove it to you. The Talmud says, holchin lemakom shetokin, then holchin lemakom shemvachin. Talmud says, if you have a choice on Rosh Hashanah, you could either travel to a place where they have a shofar, and then you'll miss minyan, or you'll travel to a place where they have a minyan, and you'll miss shofar. And you're illiterate. You don't know how to read. You won't be able to daven. So the Talmud says, go to the place where they have a shofar. Because on Rosh Hashanah, you have a biblical obligation to hear shofar.
It doesn't matter if you're literate or not. You have to hear shofar.
Ah, but if you were literate, then you could pray on your own. We're talking about a person who cannot pray on his own. If he doesn't make it to Minyan, he will not have the prayer of Rosh Hashanah. So the Talmud says a person like that should rather go hear the shofar. The Talmud says, Pshita, hadrabanan hadoraita. That's obvious, the Talmud says. Prayer is rabbinic. Hearing shofar is biblical. Of course you choose the biblical one. So the Ramban says, you see that the prayer, the Talmud refers to as a rabbinic thing. And nonetheless, earlier the Talmud refers to it as the Torah told us to pray this way. What does it mean? It's still rabbinic. It's obvious from the continuation it's rabbinic. But when we say the Torah said so, we sometimes can mean it's rabbinic. So he says that even if we learn like the Rambam, even if we have the Rambam's version in the Talmud, and the Talmud were to say, Moshe was told at Sinai 613 mitzvot, well, sometimes we use those terms and we don't mean that they're biblical. So he said, point number one, he's going to bring another 2 points. Point number one, even if we learn like the Rambam, it doesn't have to mean that all 613 are biblical. And point number 2 and 3, Bezat Shem, we'll have to continue with next week.
Where did you get that? Did you get this in Israel?